It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin. We're looking back at 2013, some of the top news coverage, the biggest news stories of the year in the Pittsburgh region. Joining me now is WESA's senior news editor, Mark Newtbar. Mark, let's talk a little bit about the more extensive reporting that WESA reporters provided.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we're able to do this type of coverage. One of the stories that I'd really like to start off with is our reporter, Charlie Song, took a look at efforts to curb recidivism among those who are going through the Allegheny County Jail. You know, what does it take to keep a person out of jail once they've been released? And the folks at the Allegheny County Jail are really striving hard to come up with some new answers. They've picked up some federal funding to help them do that. Charlie spent hours inside the jail talking to individuals who were, you know, just doing their best to help people learn how to stay out of jail. And she also spoke to individuals who had recently gotten out of jail and how was it a struggle for them and what was the program like. She found that there are a lot of programs that are indeed helping offenders stay out of jail. But she also finds that there are just some practices that don't seem to make sense. For an example, releasing a woman who's been in on drug and prostitution charges in the middle of the night with no money, no one there to pick her up. Well, what's going to happen? Of course, all too often, those same old instincts are just going to kick in. And Charlie Song took a wonderful two-part look at what was actually going on inside the jail. Next one on my list is a series of three stories from Josh Rollison.
Of course, Josh has been with WESA a little over 2 years now, and maybe we take our bridges for granted, but Josh took a different look at them, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a three-part series, and he did it in the hopes that it would help us to make sense about the assets that we have here in southwestern Pennsylvania. So Josh took us on a tour of three bridges in the area that really exemplified what is at stake when we talk about transportation funding. And they were three very different bridges: the Hot Metal Bridge, the Greenfield Bridge, and the Liberty Bridge, all having different purposes and all having different issues that they have to deal with.
And Liberty Bridge, so heavily traveled. The Hot Metal Bridge, I was a little surprised that Josh looked at it. I was talking to him, and I said, why the Hot Metal Bridge? I said, it seems like it's not all that old. And he was just impressed with that bridge. He really liked that bridge.
Moving from the bridges to downtown. Downtown Living was a story that Deanna Garcia did for us. People forget that downtown is indeed a neighborhood, and it's not just a bunch of offices. In fact, Deanna found that there were more than 8,000 people living downtown. That's up about 30% in just the last few years. It's really skyrocketing down there. But there are some struggles that are still going on, and a little bit debate as well over what that future should look like. Deanna did a great job of bringing that neighborhood to life for us and helping us to understand the people that call it home.
Call it home. I think that seems a little bit foreign to some people who live in Squirrel Hill, the South Side. Downtown is a neighborhood? That figure of 8,000 surprised me.
We very much stepped out of downtown for the next story that I'd like to bring to everybody's attention. It was a look at domestic violence in rural areas. Our All Things Considered host, Larkin Page Jacobs, did a wonderful job with this piece. It's sad to say that domestic violence, of course, happens in every community. And it's never easy for a victim to escape that cycle of violence. But there are some extra hurdles when it comes to those living in rural areas that we might not think about. Rural areas often lack police coverage. In much of the state of Pennsylvania, state police are your first line of defense, and they're covering thousands of miles of roads and so many different communities that they can't always be there right away. Public transportation simply doesn't exist. Housing resources for those who want to leave an abusive relationship often don't exist, or if they do, they're overburdened. And what if your nearest neighbor, first of all, is a mile away? You can't just go running to them in the middle of the night. And number two, what if that nearest neighbor is a relative of the person who's abusing you? Just so many issues that you don't think about, but these people are having to deal with. So Larkin took us into that community and shed some light on those issues. Erica Barris did a wonderful story looking at post-traumatic stress disorder in violent communities. When we think about post-traumatic stress or PTSD, we think about people that are coming back from right. War zones, right? That's the first time that I think it was used, and we think about that first off. But what she found out was that people who live in or have lived in communities that are plagued with violence, they're exhibiting those same type of symptoms. As is always the case, Erica Barris jumps into these stories. She has an amazing ability to introduce us to people in the community that are dealing with issues. And she helped us understand what this story was all about. And Kevin, this is a story that has potential long-term ramifications. Think about the thousands, millions of people that have grown up in these communities that have seen so much violence in their life, and it's almost like a ticking time bomb inside of them. Are these PTSD symptoms going to crop up in the future?
Just because somebody's been diagnosed now doesn't mean that there aren't lots of people to be diagnosed in the future, or they might be not thinking that it is that PTSD.
Right. So hopefully this helped to move that conversation forward just a little bit. The next story I'd like to talk about is a profile that we did of an individual. Deanna Garcia met a woman whose name is Julia Parsons. She is a Pittsburgher. Yeah, you remember, don't
you? The code breaker.
Absolutely. She did some very important work during World War II. She was a code breaker, but she couldn't tell anybody about it because it was all hush-hush, top secret. What she did is she worked with one of those world's first computers to decipher the messages that were going between the German U-boats and the naval command, and probably between the U-boats themselves. She had to keep it all a secret until the 90s. And this is a very interesting part of the story.
Hold it, the 90s?
The 90s. Well, let me explain that a little bit. She was in a museum with her family. She sees one of these Enigma machines. And the docents were talking about the women that helped to break the code. And she's thinking, they're telling all our secrets. Well, she didn't realize that it was quietly declassified in the 60s. So she's been keeping the secret for so long. Well, Deanna did just a great job of helping her to tell that story in a way that I don't think she had even told her own children. So we got to have that firsthand look inside of her life.
An historical but fun story, meeting an individual, and that's what so many stories are all about, is meeting fascinating individuals.
And Deanna really helped us do that on the next story that I want to point out. We called it Outrageous Bingo. Radio is the theater of the mind, right? Isn't that what we always say? And public radio is great at taking you places. Well, Deanna Garcia took us to something called Drag Bingo. It's a monthly event here in the city of Pittsburgh. She had a visual painted for us from the moment she opened up her microphone and really took us there. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't heard it, find it online. Listen to it with your eyes closed. You will be transported to Drag Bingo.
Liz Reed also had a fun story recently, but oh my goodness, exhausting. I told her I got exhausted just listening to her story.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, we heard this story from Liz Reed about the Dirty Dozen. Well, she learned about this crazy bike race that goes up the 12 steepest hills in the city. People spend an entire Saturday right after Thanksgiving riding up hills all day long. She spent the day with that group of men and women, put together an amazing bit of nonfiction storytelling for you to listen to if you haven't already at our website. The last one that I'd like to point out, Kevin, is the way we launched our Life of Learning series. It was something that took the entire newsroom and put us all into the middle of this effort. First, give us the thumbnail, Kevin, because you're coordinating this Life of Learning series.
Well, the underpinning of this project is the idea that it's important that our time here is truly a life of learning. So we are successful, well-rounded individuals, and therefore we're successful as a community as a whole. So this meshes with the approach that learning doesn't just begin with schools or end with schools, although they are such a vital component. They must be leaders, the schools and the teachers. But fortunately, the schools and the teachers aren't alone. There's so many wonderful, supportive organizations that care about all of us as we learn throughout our lives. And I think so far we have been learning a lot as a news operation about these efforts, the challenges, the innovations. And that's one of the fun things is to pass along what we've learned to our listeners to find out what's going on in this very active Pittsburgh community when it comes to learning.
Yeah, so we started this in June, and of course we had to start it by looking at everyone's favorite subject, summer vacation. Among the topics, how did summer vacation become the norm? Is there such thing as a summer slide where kids forget everything that they learned? What makes for a good summer learning program, and how do teachers deal with getting kids to hit the books after that long, lazy summer. All of those stories in that series can be found on our website. Just go to WESA.FM and click on Life of Learning under the Features tab. So I would just like to say thanks to all of the reporters that made these wonderful features possible, and thanks to all of the listeners who made it possible for us to do that work.
Again, Mark Neutbar is the senior news editor for WESA. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'm Kevin Gavin, and this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.